Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. This is our last session, closing session, and I just want to share with you, reviewing the things we had done before, just to remind ourselves what God wants to do in our lives. This evening, in thinking of escape, I'm taking the topic, follow thou me, following God, following God, follow thou me. Thinking through our topic, escape, death, and hell, one of the most effective ways to escape is to follow God. When you follow God, He will tell you when to run. He will tell you when to keep quiet. He will tell you when to speak to the situation. It's not every mountain you strike. Some mountain you speak to them, like Moses found out. It's not every battle you stay to fight. Some battles, in following God, He will tell you, run. Joseph had to run. He could fight that woman. But in following God, he knew he had to run from that situation. So I just briefly go through a sharing on following me, following God, this night. Then we'll pray together. We want to do some anointing for today. We'll pray on the oil, and we'll pray for all those who need prayers, who seek prayers. Follow thou me. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Ask God to open your heart that you can understand what is the meaning as a person. You don't want to just come here and go like that. Ask God to help you to connect to Him tonight in a very special way. Quietly plug into God. Say, God, help me. Thank you, Father and our God, for answering our prayers. Open our hearts to understand your word today. Any form of distraction, we cancel in Jesus' name. Yes, Father, grant us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Follow thou me. We need this kind of teaching so much more in this end time in our world. Things are going to different levels of difficulties. We have to learn to follow God. I will read a few verses from John chapter 21. Verse 14 to verse 22. About 9 verses. John 21, verse 14 to verse 22. The passage is from the book of John, chapter 21. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He, Peter, said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, I say unto thee, Verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou guardest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Verse 22. Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou. Followership or discipleship is being with the Lord Jesus Christ, learning from him, and doing what he will do himself. The key is being with him and learning from him. Then you know how to follow. It's a very risky business living in this world. So many things to distract us or challenge us. So many things to annoy you. Even from those you love. When you key unto Jesus, he will give you the secret of what to do, how to follow him. Step by step. That is still the key. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15, Bible says that he ordained 12 that they might be with him. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. I sent them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. That was what he went to do, to deal with Satan. So he came from heaven. And he was preparing his disciples who will take over. And he called them first to be with him. To stay with him. In staying with him, they will get the boldness to preach the gospel. In staying with him, they will get the power to heal the sick. In being with him, they will get the authority to cast out demons. But the key is being with him. And Satan does so many things to prevent us from being with him. He said, you are tired. You are not feeling well. And somebody is knocking on the door. When you want to pray, then they are coming to disturb you. I told you yesterday, I was trying to fast one day. Just one day fast. I said, I must fast tomorrow. I said, I'm going to be with God and fast. But I had to go to my office in Jos. And then I passed where they were frying, cooking, and the thing wafted to my nose. I said, this temptation now. I struggled. Anyway, I fell, and I ate it. I said, look, from tomorrow I'll do 3 days fast, not one day again. But I didn't do 3 days. He denied me of that one. So because he knows that when you are with God, it's a powerful secret. You can overcome him anytime. So he does all he can to separate you from God, to make you not to be with him. And without being with him, you cannot follow him. It's not possible. That is basic. But he has different tasks for different disciples. He had different things for us. Because he had a purpose for which he sent you into this world. And when you describe purpose, it's a very powerful thing. When you don't discover what you are to do here, and you are doing different things, it's a very big tragedy. You are given an exam in geography, you are asking questions in chemistry. It's zero. That's why God, why am I here? To glorify your name, that's too vague. What am I supposed to do? So Peter was asking Jesus, what of this man? You say I will die when they will tie me. What of him? He said, is that your business? Your own is to follow me. Listen to me and follow me. And that's the challenge today. Follow him. What he demands of us is to faithfully follow him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. He says, it is expected in a steward that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. It's expected, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. That is what he has told you to do, you are doing it. It's very easy to get distracted in following a leader. I normally like to use the example of an orchestra, a philharmonic orchestra. It's a very big band. Some are playing drums, five drums. Some are playing guitar that they will mount on the stool, done like this. Some are playing trombone, long trumpet. Some are small trumpets. Different things, violin, guitar, drums. One of them was given a triangle, a metal triangle, just like this, to hit only once in a while. Just go, go, go. He was doing it, so then he looked around, see this guitar man, just bring this like this. I don't know, being drum, five, back, go, go, he said, look, they all gave me this small thing to do. This one, five drums. This one, long guitar. This one, long trumpet. I'm not important here. I will stop. So he stopped bringing a coat. He stopped. Then the choir master, in the front, with bow tie, with a long sleeve and a white stick, he said, everybody stop. Something is missing somewhere. He was closing his eyes. There's something is missing. Which instrument is missing? Man said, actually, I am the one. Because I was given only one small thing to beat. Not even go, 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 but go. Go. I said, I will just stop. Yeah, but I will know. That has rhythm to what you are doing. So you are very important, very clean. So no matter how small your part is in the house of God, be faithful. God judge you for an assignment he has not given you to do. At all. He will not judge you. I was in a conference many years ago where Billy Graham was preaching before he died in Nairobi. That's 76. He spoke that night. I was so troubled. A few of us are on the field crying. God, just change us, touch us, touch us. We are crying. Unlike these days, when they hear the word of God, I think they are eating the head of tortoise. Their eyes are dry. They just say, I did camping. What I want to say, it don't penetrate. But in those days, people have hearts for God. So we are crying. The following day, we had a crusade on the field. And Billy Graham spoke in that crusade for 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes. To be honest with you, the verse he used is a verse I know very well. John 3:16. I knew it. The English he spoke, I could speak the same kind of English. What happened? As soon as he finished speaking, he said, let's sing just as I am without 21 players. We are singing. People are rushing out. People are crying. What did he say? I opened up my eyes. He said, what did this man say? They were rushing and they were crying. 20 minutes happened. It's called anointing. That is the task God has given him. They are not an evangelist. But he told us later on that anytime he's going to preach, there are people on their knees. Some of the old women, they are lying down and praying. Say, God, let your word be empowered today. In being faithful, God is following up their prayers up. People are getting converted. They are faithful in what he has called them to do. No matter what he has given you to do, no matter how small, be faithful in doing it, in following him. And of course, the Bible says, we have a cloud of witnesses who are watching us. You can't imagine it. A cloud of witnesses, those who have gone through what we are going through, and they don't fall. And they are watching us how we do it. See it this way. In Hebrews 11, verse 32 to the end, we are told of people who were slaughtered for the Lord. Some were skinned alive. Some were thrown to a burning oven where they bake bread. Throw them there. Some were thrown to lions to be torn apart because of their faith in the Lord. Some were free and didn't enter trouble. So all those things happened those days. And some of those who died, they are now in heaven as clouds of witnesses watching us. That is holding a baton in their hand like this. And they were running the race. The bullets hit them. Blood was flowing through their hands as they were dying. Say, brother, take. Continue running. Sister, take. Continue running. Cloud of witnesses. They were running. And they are now watching. They are watching us how we are making it. That's Hebrews 12, verse 1. It is. One man prayed, John Knox. Give me Scotland or I die. One man, St. Patrick, a rugged believer, he brought even dead animals back to life. Trees that are dead, he prayed, they came back to life. He prayed one day, said, God, give me souls or give me nothing else. Give me souls or give me nothing else. Okay. There are brethren. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I told husbands, give me children or I die. That's a passion after God. In following God, that passion must follow you. What God has called you to do, to be, must follow you. Well, thank you so much. Okay. Yeah. Our age is different. Our churches are filled with people who are not ashamed of spiritual barrenness. Somebody asked us about 12 years ago in a He was telling me that the conference, he asked them, one of my friends, an evangelist, said, in this large gathering, he was asking them, how many of you, this is December 27 now, how many of you have led 50 people to Christ this year that they got converted? Put your hands up. Not one person. Not one. 40. Not one. They're not your general preaching, but person to person. When he got to 10, about 5 hands went up. Or even 5, got 5, about 5 hands went up. For the whole year, this large group of Christians have not led anybody to Christ, any of them. If I ask the same question here now, maybe that's your excuse, your state, that those who have witnessed about Jesus this year, are they up to 10? They are to 5 even. That a cloud of witnesses watching us. In following after God, you know that you have to do what he came to do, to reconcile men unto God. We are not ashamed of age or spiritual barrenness. We are barren and we are comfortable. We go and sing. Go and sing. And sing and dance. And we are barren. Doesn't bother us. We ask God, God, give me money. Give me husband. Give me wife. Give me house. Give me land. Give me visa. American visa. What you will get and you will draw behind. You won't take it away. One man built a very big house many years ago in Ilefe, in the West. Story building. And he wrote in front, remember only 6 feet. Remember only 6 feet. All said and done. When you die, they drop you there. I was doing a story of a one man. He was ordained to die with the king. They called him Ababaku. So this man, this king, died only last week. Last week, Allah has come for your died. And the man had been ordained. His family does their job. That once the king died, you must die with him. While the king was alive, they will give him many good things. He will enjoy life. But he knows once the king dies, they will catch him and bury him with the king. So when he heard that Alavi had died, he packed his load. I took grace. I ran away. They haven't found the empty now. He ran away. Ah, wise man. He cannot see that too. He ran away. Those things are going to leave them in hand. You will go one day. Even if he runs, one day he will die too. He can't escape it. So where are the believers who are praying and fasting? When you even see them praying all night, listen very well for their prayer. No? Somebody was praying one day in the campus, on the field, and was praying. Somebody said, this woman is saying, was praying and crying. And said, what she say? They moved their hand and said, God, he must propose. He must propose. He is by force. He's by force. He must propose. And he was praying. She was praying like that. He must propose. Of course, that is the kind of thing that God has done these days. What drives us? Mundane things. When Paul encountered Christ, he fell under anointing. He fell down. When he rose up, he asked only two things. Who are you, Lord? I am the Lord Jesus, who you are persecuting. The second thing, what will you have me to do? That's all. And he told him what he will do. Go and say, Ananias will tell you what to do. And he followed that instruction all his life. Today, when we fall under anointing, we expect proposals. We expect visas. We expect employment letters. Many of us have not had a genuine encounter with the Lord. Following Jesus doesn't mean much to us. In following him, you are carrying a cross on your shoulders. That as he carried the cross, I will carry the cross he has given me. I make up my mind to follow him. Following Christ is intentional. It's deliberate. You don't stop into it. You will say, I'm ready to follow him. But then it will cost me. It's not even a family thing. Your wife can say, I want to follow God. I say, look, I'm not ready yet. Because when you get to heaven, you will give an individual account. Yet, there is no generation in the world that has carried Bible like we have carried. We carry Bible about without reading them. Without living the life of the Bible. Follow thou me. If you miss heaven, you can never miss hell. If you miss heaven, you can never miss hell. So we have to be very careful how we follow God. Now, it's not a very big thing that is asking us to do. Many people have gone through these things before us. In the history of the church, many have followed God at great sacrifice. Many have followed God and they have paid with their lives for it. They were killed. They were battered. They were locked up. Some were small children. A few years ago, about 6 years ago, Islamic State was ravaging Syria and Iraq, that area. We are talking of small boys. They were 9 years old, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, Sunday school children. And they were told, they are going to kill you. Deny Jesus. Said, no. We are going to follow Jesus. We won't deny him. One of them was taking the cut off his head. Others, cut our own too. We are ready. These are mere children. So what's your excuse? What has he asked you to give him that is too much for you to give? What is it? When people were called to missions many years ago in Nigeria, it was a common thing in the south, in the north, people from ABU, young graduates, those days, 73, 74, once you finish school, you got a job, you got a car, you got a house. The car will be a government loan, take from your salary. But you got a car. Sometimes before you graduated, they will come and interview you in your final year, give you a job, and say, as soon as you finish it, as you drop your pen, you go and report, you get your car immediately. But even after 6 months, 1 year, some of them will take paper and pen and say, I beg to resign. Hey, good job. Why? I want to go and serve the Lord. One man did that one. He was working in a shell. When he resigned, he said, you cannot go. You are a very valuable staff. We need you. He said, I have to resign. They double his salary. He said, no. I have to resign. What do you want? He said, nothing. Just let me go. Who is paying you bigger money? Say, it's not about money. I want to go and serve God. How much will he pay you? Say, I don't even know the salary. It's not monetary. I want to go. And he left. Those people loved God. What happened to our generation? Many of you were here 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and you heard the word of God strong in your hearts. How many of you go and tell, come, you must go with me? I think you love them. They are your friends. You are hearing the word of life. You can't tell any of them, come, let's go. Let's go together. Andrew, when he met Jesus, he said, come, I've seen, come and see. I've seen somebody. The widow, the woman, John chapter 4, at the well. He went to the old village, he said, I've seen somebody who told me all I have ever done. He brought the old village to Jesus. They all came, and they had the word of life. How many have you told? Are you afraid, Jesus? We are joking. We can't pay the price. We are not wanting to pay the price. We love our flesh too much. We are too pampered. A friend of mine said that many of us, we pray, God, break me. God, break me. I want to be broken. Break me. Then God will just take your finger and bend it. Ah, you want to kill me? They should break you. Just your finger alone. God shouldn't humble anybody. Bible says we should humble ourselves by the mighty hand of God. Not God humble. If God humbles you, you can't stand it. We have to humble ourselves. God, help me. Let this word become life in me. Let my love, the love we have for God is manifested in our love for the things he hates. When you hate what God, when you love what God hates, then you hate God. When you love God, his work will be passionate in your mind. You just throw yourself into it. Whether you have any, when I came out to be missionary, I told God, whether I have no food or I have food, I will follow you. There was a time, food was very scarce, we were getting kunu to drink. But no real food, no real meat, nothing like that. I said, God, if there is no food, nothing will still serve you. It will be on record that one boy, one small boy trusted you and you stabbed him to death will serve you. It's not about money. It's not about food. Only you say, you can talk now. You can talk about not your money. And you have a good car, you have a good house. For several years, I was trekking 12 kilometers to enter my house from the main road. I was a graduate. 1972 graduate. I was a graduate. Me and my team, we are graduates. We will trek to that bush. We will trek. No vehicle in that bush. For 5 years, we are living there. We are living there. But it meant nothing to us. We had no bathroom. There was a river. We go and bath there. When the boys are there, they will sink in. So no girl will come. When the girls are there, they will sink. Nobody will come. And we are very happy. In fact, one day, a friend of ours came to visit us in that day. He came from Jos to that village. And I'm told when he came, he said, where does Uncle Bayo sleep in this place? They took him to my room. He saw a mattress, 6 spring mattress on the floor. My books surrounding me. He has no bed? He said, no. And so he sat down and began to weep. Because he was my junior in school. He was crying. He was the president of the university in the fellowship in the Ife. That was in Suka. He was crying. So he went back. When I came back the following day, I was told that the Brasso came and he really cried for you. He cried, why? That you are suffering. He said, eh? I sat up and I started crying for him. I said, God, have mercy. Let him see the joy. I'm enjoying my life. He doesn't know. The following week, he came with 9 beds for all of us. 9 beds and some mattresses. And for about a week or two, I couldn't convince them to the bed. They said, this is another problem now. You have to climb up to sleep again. So just slowly on the floor, enjoy yourself. We already adapted to this on the floor. So what have you given out for God in following him? People who are looking for power in the world, they do crazy things. They have to eat raw meat. I have to say to go and get a scorpion to kill it and eat it. They eat it raw. They have to go and sleep in the grave. They do. In the Joshua, in their town, to go about 3 times naked, they do it. For what power? By entering this world. Now, God did not ask, but I said, give me yourself. He said, God, I'm ready to follow you. This is lucky. No man commands power unless he bows down to something else, to a greater power. When you bow down to the power of God, it will empower you. Brothers and sisters, we are a powerful group. We, not us who are here, we are more than 12. We are more than enough to change these states in our prayers, in our movements, in our authority work, to change these states. But we have to get the power of God to do it. And it's eluding us. We love power. We love to command great influence. But when we talk about the price, we run away. No man becomes successful without buying down somebody else. It's not possible. You want to see the lame walk. Those who are blind to see. Souls getting saved. How many times have you fasted? How many times have you woken up and spent 30 just praying in tongues, scratching the demonic realm? How many times? How many hours do you spend on Facebook, on WhatsApp, every day? Sending texts, reading news, watching African Magic. How many hours? You want to change and transform? You have to spend time with God. He called them to be with him. In being with him, they will get the boldness to preach the gospel, the power to heal, and the authority to cast out demons. In fact, I wonder many times what material the men of old were made of. The prophet Ezekiel, lie on one side for 1 year. Just on the left side alone. And it will be Hosea, go and marry a harlot. The harlot left him, went to another man, go and do for her. That kind of, and he will be obeyed. Isaiah, go about to naked, you already know, for 3 years. And he obeyed. What kind of men are those? What has he told you that looks so impossible, that is frightening you? You can't serve him. Remember, Peter wasn't a small boy. He was a married man when he met Jesus. When they carried them and they flogged them publicly, they flogged him before all of them, put them in jail. They were not small boys, and they obeyed. Jeremiah, they called him the weeping prophet. Abraham left his home. God said, go to where I will show you. He didn't say where. Where I will just follow. And he followed. He obeyed. In following Christ, a key element is obedience. Whatever he has told you, do it. You may not understand. It may not make sense to you. But if he says so, obey him. He knows where he's leading you. He knows it. It's not a problem. I don't want to give many testimonies this night, so you can pray and do our anointing. You will be here today, and God has told you something about your life, and you are struggling. The faith of a husband will not save a child. The faith of a wife will not save a husband. So what has God told you personally? Are you obeying it? It doesn't make sense. Somebody told me that it doesn't make sense. I became a mistake, me and my wife. I said, why? That she's a graduate. Let her take a job. And then say, God has called you. I support two of you now. Your children will suffer. I said, if I'm not in mission, she won't marry me. Because she has a calling from God. But two of you, how can two of you just turn your back on work? Then we are working. We are busy. We are working for a master who knows how to reward us more than your own generals in the army. You know? And we have to be very wise ourselves. We have to go through a lot of training, and we know that we can't just live anyhow. We can't eat anyhow. We have to learn to live a simple lifestyle. One of my friends, a general, he came to my house in Ghana. He said, Agubayo, even our boot camp in the bush, as officers, they are better than where you are living now. I said, hey, me, I'm living in the palace, you don't know. He said, because you cannot see, open your eyes. You will see the glittery place there. He said, like, I'm living in the palace. He said, they said they are boot camp. But I don't agree with him. Because where we are living, we are comfortable about it. God will give you that comfort. If you don't know him, you go and get a big house, you will have no joy. Some have big houses, they cannot sleep. They can't sleep. You know? The owner is in the house. When they arrive, the woman says, ah, they have come. Because he has too much money. And God has helped us. We said, we can't afford to have too many children. We agree on that on two of us. We better even have just two children. So you can face the work of the ministry. And before you got married, see that when we married for the first 2 years, we have no child. And God helped us. Then some people had tiny rumors in Zaria where we are living. That, Uncle Bayo, he has lived so much in sin that God is punishing him now, no child. My father-in-law got to hear that story. So his last baby he gave to us. He was just 5 years old. He dashed us. So after 2 years, he got our first child. Second one came. Third one came. He said, well, if we want to have 10 children, we can have 10 children. We don't want to. You know, it was a decision by us before we married that we are building a new ministry called Capro. We can't bring with children around us. We'll be distracted. And that there was no money anywhere. If I had no food and she had no food, she would understand. But children having no food, you won't understand at all. But one day, the food was very late. My daughter's son was crying. That's one second. Then mommy said, be patient. I don't want to eat patient. I want food. I don't want to eat patient. I want food. So I said, also, I don't want to eat patient. I want food. So I said, that's why I didn't marry. We didn't have children in time. But we said, after 2 years, we'll start having children. And 2 years came, we are still struggling with the money to even buy food and all those things. And she now gave me a list of what the child would need. Very long like this. I saw clothes. If I forgot that the child would wear clothes. Stocking, nappy liner, nappy, sterilizing unit. These things, I don't know them. A walker, a pram. I said, I had no pram in my life. My mother had this stick, you push it with iron here. That was our pram. I said, look, the first thing, cancel sterilizing unit, cancel it. He said, they have to put it with the metal there to make it clean. I said, cancel it. My mother didn't use it for me, and I'm healthy. And she was a nurse. She canceled it. I saw a cot. Say bed. Bed for a baby. Say yes. We have a bed now. It will sleep between us. I said, but you know that you roll in the night. I said, it's true. I will roll on the baby. You are the mother. Put the baby on your own side. Mothers will not roll on their child. It's not possible. The man can roll on your child. Don't trust the man. He can roll on the child. But mothers will not do it. When you go to school and say, daddy will come and pick you, sometimes the fathers forget the child in the school. But a mother would never forget her child in school. It's not possible. You know? That's the truth. She said, remove the bed there. So she removed it. The following day, or that same day, after removing that thing, those things, I did a list. One of our daughters in ABU came to see ABU. He said, I'm going to greet you. I see her baby, how it's doing. So I bought a gift. He wrapped it from the Kaduna market. We opened that gift. What was there? The first thing we canceled, sterilizing units. When that baby came, we had two cots, two prams. The clothes for the first 2 years came from Britain. Without begging anybody. Because God is mindful of us. What is frightening you from taking a step with God is a lack of knowledge of God. When you know Him, He will supply your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus Christ. You have to be humble and learn a simple lifestyle. That's true. But He will meet you at your need. Many things we are looking for, we don't need them. We don't need them. So as we pray this night, what is God telling you about your business, about following Him? Follow Him. His plan for you may be different than His plan for your people. But what He has told you, do it. And He will faithfully help you. We are going to pray together this night. And for different people, you have had a lot of struggles in your life. You want the peace of my life. It's eluding you. Something must come up from your brother, your sister, or your parents, or your spouse. And just struggle, and then you just lose your peace. We want to pray that God will reveal Himself to you, and the Prince of Peace will be your portion. And God has called you, you know, but you are afraid. You have younger ones to take care of. You have old parents to take care of. Say, how will I do it? Say, God, I agree to follow you today. Just take me as you like, as you want. You are doing some business or some work, and it's a struggle in your life. You are not making it very well. I say, God, give me the key to success. God has treasure rooms. Just a key to one room is enough to make a whole city. Just one strong key. Pray for you. And you have some health challenges, we pray for you too. So let's pray together. Bow your head and we pray. I want to pray for some people right away. Maybe you are here and you haven't even known Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you want to give your life to Jesus today, say, God, come to my life. Anybody, put your hand up so you can pray with you. I want to know Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. Anybody? Thank God. You have kind of ailment in your body, sickness bothering you, and you want God to take it away today. You can see the cross of Jesus and you are holding on to it. You want God to help you. Let me see your hand up. You're not feeling very well. God bless. Please just come forward here quickly. Come forward and we pray with you. You are here and you know that you are doing business and it has been a lot of struggle. You're asking for a breakthrough to give you the way forward. Let me see your hand up. If you're in that category. Okay, let me pray with you. Please come forward here quickly. Just stand up.